Welcome to Sales Talk for CEOs. I'm glad you're here. I'll be interviewing CEOs who have successfully scaled their B2B sales organization. In each episode, I'll start by uncovering the sales background of each CEO, dig into the strategies they use to build their sales organization, and wrap it up with what the future holds. We'll cover the good, the bad, and the ugly of scaling a sales organization. I'm your host, Alice Hyman. Hi, I'm Alice Hyman. Welcome to Sales Talk for CEOs. I am excited to have Gary Gerke with me today. He is the CEO of Clarity Voice and a friend of mine. So I'm really excited to have this conversation because it's going to be a good one. So Gary, tell us a little bit about Clarity Voice.
Well, Alice, first, thank you for inviting me onto the show. I've been listening to the podcast, wondering if I was going to get the invitation or not. And it's like being invited to the grand ball at the last minute. So it doesn't matter when you get the invitation. It's just that you got it. So I'm really excited to be here with you today and talking with you and your listeners.
Well, thank you, because I know you have a lot to share. So it's going to be really fun. Start by telling us a little bit about Clarity today. And then, of course, we're going to rewind and go all the way back.
Sounds fun. Well, today, Clarity Voice, we offer what's called Unified Communications as a Service. Most people know that as voice over IP telephone service. But today it's evolved to be more than just voice. It's voice and video and text and chat. And we provide that to businesses that rely on their phone to conduct business with their customer, to make money with their phone. We niche in that we're experts in serving some specific verticals, franchise home services like maid services and repair, home healthcare, business services, which are like printing and shipping, pizzeria and quick serve restaurants, and new car dealerships.
Yeah, that's kind of a fun group, really. And knowing a little bit about your business, I know you guys were just at a pizza show, and I'm thinking, how fun. Like, I want to go to a pizza show. And do they let you eat pizza while you're there? I'm just curious.
Well, yes, there's vendors everywhere, and they're making pizza. Across from us was a brick oven vendor, and throughout the entire show, they were making pizza. But by the time the 3 days were up, I had enough pizza.
Pizza out, right? Pizza out. But it does sound like fun. So maybe I'll have to join you at a future pizza show so I can see just what that's all about.
Well, we certainly welcome you to do that.
All right. So we know what Clarity Voice is today, but what our listeners want to know is, how did you start this? How did you get this great idea to start a company? And what were you doing just before you started it?
Yeah. So with any entrepreneur, when they look back from the time that they started the company and what led up to it, there were many things that happened that built them to the place where they were ready to move on an opportunity. So for me, I started my career in information technology at a job working as a technology help desk. So when your printer didn't work, I would get the call and I'd fix your printer.
Call Gary.
And I was in my early 20s, recently out of school. Around that time, I was approached to join a direct selling organization, or multi-level marketing, as it was called. And being young and naive, I not only joined, but I then did everything that the leadership said I should do to become successful. And what that turned out to be is several years of constant sales training, albeit at my own expense. It was constant sales training. And what's amazing is I got to be around some of the greats. I was coached personally by people like Zig Ziglar and Robert Kiyosaki and John Maxwell and Michael Gerber. And that's just naming a few experts in leadership and sales.
That's amazing. Like, most of us have only read their books and, you know, wish that at some point we might be able to meet them.
Yep. And being in a room, in a small group with these guys was really, really special. Didn't realize it at the time. Now I look back and realize that was the foundation of my life, really. My success in that organization was moderate, but that the value of the education is priceless. So we fast forward 20 years in my technology career, and I see an opportunity to start a voiceover internet phone company to serve small businesses. And initially, Alice, my intent was to run it as a side business. That's what I had experience with, is side businesses. By the time I was 6 months in, I saw a much larger opportunity. And I figured, well, if I could have moderate success in pitching non-salespeople to pay for the privilege of joining a direct selling organization, it should be a breeze to talk to small businesses about having better phone communications. That's how it started, or that's what led up to it.
So it sounds like you were the first salesperson of your company when you started it.
I was. At the very beginning, it was as easy as saying, hey, I have a voice over IP phone business for small businesses. And people would ask me to tell them about the service and ask for a quote. So prospecting was really easy, just open your mouth. And then the sales process was just explaining, here's what we do, here's what you're going to get, and here's your quote or proposal.
And that was 15 years ago, so voice over IP was fairly new still then, right? So it wasn't as hard. So you were doing that, going along, making a little money, and then for some reason, you decided to make this your full-time gig. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I did. Although I had a great career at the time, I really adored the company that I was working for. It was a publicly traded company, but run by a family. So it was the best of both worlds. We had unlimited money, but the values of a family, just really a wonderful organization. But I wanted to have more and do more with my life than what I saw my career path providing. So I think I was complaining to my wife, Gina, at the time about, you know, my future, and she's very supportive. And I had the idea that I go full time, that I scale the business. Yeah. That's the term. And I went to her and I said, okay, Gina, I'm going to have to mortgage the house, run up all the credit cards, quit my job. And by the way, you've been a stay-at-home caretaker to our two kids who are in private schools at this point. What do you think? And her answer was, well, if it'll make you happy, then I'm supportive. And if we go bankrupt, we can always start over again. We're young enough. Now, I was 40 when I did this, which at the time I didn't think I was that young. But she was right, or more importantly, she was that supportive. So we took the plunge and did just that, mortgaged the house and started to bring people in. But I still couldn't afford to bring in salespeople. So I brought in first somebody to build the technology infrastructure.
Right.
and then I needed to bring somebody in to do customer support. I did learn that my patience is short. So fixing problems, even though I had done it as a career for 20 years, was not right where I wanted to be. I just didn't have the patience for it. So I continued to be the chief sales guy for a long time.
So wearing many hats, running a company, doing all the various and sundry things that there wasn't anyone else to do, and doing all of the selling.
Yes. I had a dream. I had accomplished something that I wanted to accomplish back when I joined that multi-level, which was to be my own boss. And I finally had that. So from there, it was getting to a point where I was my own boss and I had freedom to enjoy my life and wasn't working 16-hour days, 7 days a week.
Right. So there came a moment where you thought to yourself, I need salespeople. So how did that come about? Were there some challenges? you know, just too much business. You know, how did that work? How did you decide, oh my gosh, I need to hire some salespeople?
Yeah. So my first salesperson, I'll just refer to him as Jeff, may not be his real name. Great guy. I'm not sure how I met him, but I met him and I thought, oh, he would be great in sales. He didn't have a sales background. I just thought he'd be great at it. And at that point, we still were very much order takers. And I had established a relationship with a large franchise organization, and they were sending leads as their franchise business was expanding. So it really was order taking. And Jeff was doing a great job of taking orders until he got overly exuberant with a prospect and made the comment that, yeah, corporate's really drinking the Kool-Aid. And that got back to corporate, and that was the end of Jeff's sales career with us. I kept in touch with Jeff. He's had a great career, not in sales.
Yeah, there you go.
But my only experience in building a sales organization was what I saw from being in multi-level direct sales, which wasn't interviewing people. It was finding anyone who could breathe and say yes.
Right.
That spilled over. So my next salesperson, I just got lucky with. I mentioned to a business colleague that I was looking for someone in sales. He said, I know somebody who is transitioning out of another position. And we connected at the end of the first interview. The salesperson closed me by saying, are there any reasons you wouldn't hire me right now? My only response was only that I won't hire people in the first interview. So we have to set up a second interview. And she said, great, later today then. It turned out she was with us in sales until recently, over 10 years, and did a great job. I really got lucky in that she was that one person who didn't need direction and would just figure out how to be successful. In the early stages, the only way I could pay would be a very liberal commission and a very small base. And she was, again, one of the few people who could succeed on that and saw it as a challenge and actually, you know, hit the mark.
That is a rare person that will do that and can do it successfully. So you did get lucky, Gary.
I did get lucky, and it actually impeded the growth of the company, though.
So tell us about that.
Sure. I thought, okay, I know how to build a sales organization now. I just need more people exactly like her. I tried for probably 5 years hiring people and expecting them to function exactly like this gal who's the rock star. And I tried all sorts of things. Having the rock star manage the new people, that didn't work because the rock star was a great seller, not a great manager or teacher.
Right.
I tried everything under the sun. I think about this time of frustration, I met you for the first time at a conference. I remember it's a lobby bar at the Roosevelt Hotel in New York City.
New York City. That's right. I forgot that. That's right. We were in the bar. That's right. That was a beautiful old hotel. Right. And there was a franchise conference we were attending.
There was a franchise conference. And one of my franchising colleagues introduced me to you. And we became fast friends, you know, out of that conference. It took me some time to really get through my thick skull that hiring superstars was not going to work. And it it's difficult to accept that, especially as a bootstrapped entrepreneur, because it's a lot of money and a long commitment to building up a sales team.
It is.
Alice, probably 12 months ago, when you finally got it through my head that there was a way forward, I was resistant to hiring a sales leader because I couldn't see or justify such a large expense for somebody who wasn't a direct producer. Huge right. mistake. That mistake probably cost me millions of dollars over the last 10 years.
Yeah, it's not unusual, though. I don't want you to feel like you're alone out there. I know I've told you this before, but being a CEO, especially when, we started it, we built it, we only know what we know, right? And you, unlike some others that I know, you seek help. I mean, you're part of EOS, the Entrepreneurial Operating System, and you have also the Strategic Leaders group that you belong to. I think that's Dan Sullivan's group, right?
Yes, Strategic Coach. With Dan Sullivan.
Strategic coach. So you seek help, right? But even a smart CEO, gets busy. You're doing so many different things. You're wearing a lot of different hats. You're trying to make your company grow, get each department set up and organized so that they're successful. And you hadn't had a lot of success running sales. So you were successful when you were selling, and then you got one superstar A player that could do it. And then you couldn't get the recipe right. It just tried a couple of different things and they didn't work. So that must have been pretty frustrating for you at that point. And then what was the turning point where you said, okay, I need specifically sales help?
Yeah. When I looked at 5 years of monthly sales results, and our sales were flat. Now, we were growing as a company because the nature of our business being a subscription business, once we have a customer, we retain a customer for life. I just calculated for some financial people that our lifetime value for a customer is 17 and a half years. And we haven't been in existence that long. So it's really unprecedented. So that gave me a margin to make a lot of mistakes without it sinking the organization. So we continued to grow no less than 10% per year. There were some years where we still grew 20%, but our sales themselves weren't growing. Our revenue, our top line was, but not our sales. And when I took a look at what our sales growth was and realized that if I really wanted to hit my target goal and really break out from the crowd of being small unified communication businesses and break out from that crowd, I needed to do something differently than what I had been doing. We've all heard the adage, if insanity is doing what you've always done and expecting different results. Well, I applied that to myself, looking in the mirror, saying, I'm going to have to change something because I'm not getting to where I want to go doing what I'm doing now. So I looked at our sales numbers, and regardless of how many people I had or the different people that came in that I thought at the time could be rock stars, we really weren't getting sales growth. And it's at that point I realized I just don't know what I don't know here. And I have to seek help. And I have to realize that I'm ignorant about this next stage of growing a sales team. That I'm fine at the early startup stage. But now that we're crossing the 5 million in annual revenue, looking to get to 10 million and beyond, I just didn't know what I didn't know, and I needed help from people who did, and that's you.
Yeah. Well, that was very smart of you, Gary.
It turns out it has been.
Yes, that's good. And in the last, 4 to 5 years, you have really seen, and most recently, like you said, the last 12 months, your team has busted their quota every single month, which has just been amazing to watch, how exciting it is to see that growth. But I think when, you said that, you got to a point where you just thought, gosh, I was successful doing this when I was a startup, and I was able to do enough. You know, it kept us growing, but it really isn't taking you where you want to go. And I think that's a big realization. Again, CEOs wear many hats. You're focused on so many things at one time. And I know you were trying to manage all the salespeople yourself, as well as run your company. And that was a hard job. And I know that was a bit frustrating for you. So tell us about trying to manage your own sales team.
Yeah. Well, kudos for you for giving my head a shake, because I did say to you, okay, Alice, I'm going to manage the sales team, but I need your guidance on how to do it. And you said, oh, okay.
And I think if you remember, I said, I don't think it's a very good idea, but okay, I'm going to let you do it.
Yeah, you did say that. And you said, you know, I don't know too many CEOs that also manage sales, Gary, but if you want
not
to.
Not at this stage of the game anyway, where you're already, you know, you're 15, well, this was a couple of years ago, but you know, you're 10 plus years in and you're growing rapidly. It starts to be a place where, yeah, you need a sales manager.
Right. It really was a function of time. That it's a full-time or more than full-time to groom and coach and help salespeople to grow. Intrinsically, I knew this because I knew it from those direct selling multi-level days that I would bring the new recruits and we together would go out and do our sales activities. I knew being engaged until the salespeople are up and running, and then it's more maintenance coaching than teaching was necessary. Right. And it, as a CEO running the company, taking care of the big relationship. So I'm still, and I think every CEO would say they're still involved in sales. It's just more at an evangelist level. And being in touch with the big customers or the most influential customers while leaving the tactical sales to the sales team.
Right.
And it's just, it's too much for any CEO to do.
Right.
I had to make the real decision. Do I want to be small and in control of everything, or do I want to grow? And that was my choice. And it's the choice for any of your listeners. If you run up against the headwinds that you just can't do it all, you can't figure out how to build the sales team, it might be okay. You really have to ask yourself, do you want to grow? Or is staying where you're at as a lifestyle business going to be adequate? And either choice is fine.
Yes, absolutely. But in the case where you want to grow, which you did, you just cannot manage sales anymore because it's full time. You got to do weekly one-to-ones. You got to be able to coach on the fly. There's a lot of skill building that has to go on, as you know. And you had some really good people who just needed some skills and coaching. And we saw them go from not producing to being amazing producers.
They did.
But you wouldn't have had the time to do that. And
right.
I mean, you didn't have the time to do it. Even
right.
if you had the skill to do it, you didn't have the time to do it.
Right. And to that point, so we were working together at this point, Alice. So you were instructing what the sales team needed to do, what exercises, what practice, what learning, what to track for accountability and their scheduling. So I had all of the tools to grow the team from you, but I just couldn't implement it because you can't say to someone, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to review your calls from last week. Take the top three, two of which are you're proud of and one of which that you think you could have done better, and bring them to the weekly meeting. Guess what? They're not going to do it. They're going to figure
and
out.
They didn't.
They didn't do it.
Right. Because it's a full-time job to hold people accountable. And salespeople do need to be held accountable. They want to do a great job, but they need the skills, they need the encouragement, and they need the accountability, right? So
exactly.
Everybody, it's nature. You're going to do what's easiest. You're going to fall back on the things that you know the best. So when we want salespeople to learn and grow and change their behavior, we have to be on top of that and, you know, reviewing, refreshing, coaching, listening, and again, holding them accountable. So that didn't work well for you, Gary. So at that point you said, okay, we're going to get a sales manager. Tell us about how you decided, all right, you're right. I need a sales manager. Let's do that. Let's move forward. And then what happened?
Well, I didn't get to that point yet because I'm stubborn. And what I thought then is, well, technology solves all problems.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Right. So right.
All we need is some
more technology.
Which is true, except the all part. Being a technology background or having a technology background and really loving how applications can propel.
The geek that you are, Gary.
Yeah, yes. I am a geek. But really, technology can propel a business. It's they're tools, yes, that can take a fantastic business concept and create explosive growth. But it's still the technology has to be implemented and managed and taught, and the people who are using the technology still need guidance and coaching and guardrails, and that was too much. So I did bring in some great technology, much of which I learned about at the Sales 3.0 conference, which I know you're a supporter of. It's a fantastic conference to find out what's going on, leading edge in the world of sales. I highly recommend it to all of your listeners. And but the technology didn't solve the problem. So finally, you convinced me that there was somebody internal that could be coached up to be a sales leader. And I loved that idea. So you became their coach. Instead of coaching me on how to grow a sales team, you coached them on how to be a sales team or how to build a sales team. And it's worked out super. Pleased as plum. It's actually the one area of the company now where I don't... I'm not burdened by what's going on.
That's good to hear.
Whether the numbers are skyrocketing or flattening a bit for a time doesn't concern me, because I know that the leadership is such that we're headed ultimately in the in long term in the right direction. Now, I say that, but we haven't had a flat month or a flat quarter.
No, we haven't
yet. So... but I imagine there's probably a plateau out there somewhere. I just don't know where it's at.
Well, there may well be. And, you know, companies do plateau at different points for different reasons, and that's perfectly okay. But right now we've seen steady growth and we're forecasted to continue seeing that steady growth, which is very exciting. And it's exciting for the sales team. They feel really pumped, and the sales leader feels pumped, and they feel like they're contributing and they're part of a team and part of a bigger, you know, just a bigger picture. And they love your customers. And I think that's what companies, your customers, why you have such a high retention rate, is because when you join the Clarity family, you are truly joining a family of people who care about you, starting from the first time you meet one of the salespeople who express so much love and care for the people that they sell to. It's just delightful to watch. And then moving them, you know, right into their onboarding and the success that they have with their communication system. You know, not to even mention that you continue to innovate and update and give them more and more great tools that they can use. But it's just the love that people feel when they work with Clarity is what I really like. And by changing your mind and letting someone else lead sales, you've given them that opportunity to grow even more. And just they have just really been shining. And it's just so exciting to see. And your customer retention rate speaks volumes about how you begin, how you onboard, and how you continue to serve your customers.
Life is a journey. and not a destination. So it's great to have goals. It's critical, actually, to have goals. The experience, the richness of life, the richness of business is the journey getting there. And some of that is in the struggle and figuring things out. but it's also in enjoying the successes, recognizing the achievements, and liking what you're doing and who you're doing it with, both your team and your customers. I'm not sure if we've fired a customer or not, but we would if that customer isn't part of enjoying the journey and really in alignment with our core values.
Yes, yes. I think that's so critical. So sales are going pretty well right now. What does the future look like for Clarity, and especially for, you know, continuing to build your sales organization? You know, knowing that the customer out there is changing, it's a little harder to get a hold of people than it has been in the past, although we're doing a pretty darn good job right now at your company of getting hold of people. What does it look like? What do you see as what's coming next to really continue to grow your team?
What I have noticed about sales, it is the trend away from the prospector closer to consultant relationship builder and Sherpa. Maybe I'll call it a Sherpa, a guide.
Yes.
Customers are better educated. They know more than you think they do about your service. And I say that even any of your listeners who just thought to themselves, well, my service is revolutionary. Yep, it probably is. And your customer base is smart enough that they've been waiting for you to deliver it much longer than you've had it on the market. So the customer is more educated. They're finding out and doing more of the research and diligence about you, about us, on their own, traditional web, but also seeking out, you know, referrals and social media and reviews. So by the time that your salespeople are talking with a prospect, most likely that prospect is already buying from you. And it's yours to the salesperson to win or lose. So our focus is going to be about better equipping the sales team to have the answers and the resources that the customer is looking for at the point of engagement.
Beautiful. I think that speaks volumes, really, because that's where it's going. Customer engagement, right? Looking out at the customer to see how they look in at you and helping them in their journey, guiding them. That Sherpa, it's a perfect example because that's what buyers need today. There are a lot of choices. It's hard to tell the difference between all of the choices that they have. And if we come forward to them as guides, give them content that will help them make a decision, give them messaging that will help them make a decision, then they want to come towards us versus repelling them with our pitches and, you know, information that they don't want. So I think that guide is really a critical piece moving into the future. And you have a sales team who's poised to do that, because of the way you set them up for success.
Exactly.
So that's an excellent observation.
And what I've learned is that the support of the sales team by sales management, sales enablement, it appears to be an expense without a direct ROI. And it certainly does add to the cost of sale. It's a catalyst for the rest of your sales team, where you get so much more out of each individual that is in that direct selling account executive role.
Yes, absolutely. It is hard sometimes when you're growing to think about putting in that extra overhead for sales leadership and sales enablement, but it pays off many, many times over, and as you have seen. So just as we wrap up here, Gary, I'd love to hear just maybe one, two, or three things that you want our listeners to know about their journey to becoming a great sales CEO who really supports sales and enables sales versus kind of holding themselves back, which we can tend to do occasionally, and you did for a while as well. But what are some of the key things you want to share with them so that they can move into that mindset and really help themselves take off and scale?
Sure. I would say number one, don't try to hire a sales superstar. Even if they have been a superstar at another organization, it doesn't mean that you're going to be able to plop them into yours and they're going to be a superstar. I've found just the opposite. I could go off for another 5 minutes about what we do now, but I'll just leave that as a overview. The second piece is always be evolving your sales process. So that's the use of technology. Your pitch, your value proposition, your sales team are on the front lines and they're hearing what the customer is saying. Use that feedback to adjust your approach so that you can stay relevant, especially with COVID. It's changed. We're in such a fluid environment. What was working in sales last month isn't the optimum this month. So be on that. And pay attention to that, and pull your salespeople. And the third one I can't think of off the top of my head. So those two.
That's fine. Two are great. I love that. Well, Gary, I cannot thank you enough for spending time with us today. I know the listeners are going to get a lot out of this, and I'm sure some of them are going to be shaking their heads going, yep, I did that too, right? And you've given them some ideas, if they're stuck in that, how they can move out of it now, which is wonderful as well. And I think sometimes it just takes us time to move into our greatness and what we're going to do next. And I love watching the way you have grown and changed as a CEO and how that has impacted your team in such a positive way. It's really been just a joy and a pleasure to work with you and your company. So thank you for that honor, as well as the honor of having you on the show today.
Well, thank you, Alice. I consider it a blessing that you took me on as a client and you continue to help us succeed. The journey is infinitely more fun with you in that circle.
Thank you. All right. Well, have a great day, Gary. And I think I'm actually talking to you later.
Thanks. Have a super week.
You too. Bye. Thanks for tuning in to Sales Talk for CEOs. You can find me at alicehyman.com. Be sure and connect with me on LinkedIn and let me know that you heard the show. If you found value in today's episode, please subscribe, write a review, and share the show with another CEO.